Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building something really useful. A roller tactics edit, a tight jungle style vocal fill you can build from scratch in Ableton Live 12. The aim here is not to make a flashy vocal moment just for the sake of it. The aim is to make a short, functional edit that feels like it belongs inside a serious drum and bass arrangement. Something that can sit between phrases, answer the groove, and add pressure right before the drop or turnaround. Done right, this kind of fill sounds sharp, dangerous, and controlled at the same time. This technique works especially well at the end of 2-bar or 4-bar phrases, or anywhere the track needs a little lift without changing the whole vibe. Think pre-drop pickups, end-of-bar transitions, second-drop variations, or those moments where you want the energy to lean forward without cluttering the sub. That's the sweet spot. Why this works in D&B is simple. Drum and bass moves fast. The arrangement depends on rhythm, space, and momentum. A vocal fill is most effective when it behaves like part of the drum language, not like a long melodic statement sitting on top. If the vocal is too long, it smears the snare. If it's too bright, it fights the hats. If it's too wide, it can lose impact in mono. So the real goal is to make the vocal chop feel like a rhythmic detail that tightens the whole phrase. Start with the right source. You want a vocal that has attitude and a clear transient. Spoken words, shouted fragments, ad-libs, or short lyrics usually work better than full-sung lines. Look for something with a hard start, like a consonant or strong attack. Words like roll, move, go, back, or ride can be great because they slice well and still feel musical. What to listen for here is very simple. First, does the opening sound give you a clean attack? Second, does the vowel ring on too long into the next drum hit? If the sample is too smooth, save it for atmospheres or breakdowns. For this lesson, you want something with edge. Once you've got the source, warp it and trim it so it's playable. In Ableton, turn warp on, line up the first useful transient, and trim away any dead space. For a vocal chop like this, Beats or Complex Pro can both work depending on the sample. If the vocal is sharp and percussive, Beats often keeps the attack more defined. If there's more tonal sustain, Complex Pro can sound smoother, but you need to watch for smearing. Keep the workflow fast. Duplicate the clip before you start chopping, so you always have a clean original. That little habit saves a lot of headaches later. Now place the sample in context. Loop a bar or two of your drum groove and start shaping the vocal as a phrase element. A strong starting shape is something like a pickup into the bar, then an answer on the downbeat, then a small rhythmic reply, then a final cut or tail before the next phrase. You're not trying to fill every gap. You're trying to create motion and anticipation. A very usable pattern is a short chop just before bar 1, another on beat 1 or the end of 1, a tighter repeat on beat 2, and then a final stutter or tail on beat 4 leading into the next phrase. That kind of shape works, because it reinforces momentum without stealing the spotlight from the drums. This is a good place to think like an arranger. Place the fill every 8 bars at first, then vary it slightly on the next pass. Maybe the last chop gets replaced with a small silence. Maybe the second time the fill lands 1 bar earlier. That small timing shift matters. It keeps the listener engaged without making the idea feel random. Now let's slice the vocal into useful hits. In Ableton, manually chop the clip or use slicing if that feels faster. The idea is to build 3 to 6 fragments that can behave like small percussion hits. Keep the hard consonant as the first attack. Use a vowel fragment as the body. Use a breathy tail or chopped release as the final texture. If any syllable feels too long, split it and remove the sustain. What to listen for as you do this is the relationship between the chops. Do they feel like a pattern, or do they feel like leftover audio? That's the difference between a real fill and a pasted sample. A jungle-style edit often sounds better when one chop sits a touch ahead of the grid, and the next sits a touch behind. Not sloppy, just alive. That tiny tension gives the fill movement, especially when the drums are rigid and the bass is rolling underneath. A useful creative choice here is whether you want the fill to be tighter and more percussive, or a little ragged and more jungle-like. The tight version is better when the track needs precision, especially in heavier rollers. The ragged version is better when you want rawness, old-school energy, or a more breakbeat-feeling transition. Both can work. Choose based on what the arrangement needs. Now process the vocals so it feels like part of the tune. A very solid stock chain in Ableton is Utility, EQ8, Saturator, and Compressor. Start with Utility to keep the gain under control and, if needed, keep the core of the sound centered. Then use EQ8 to high-pass the vocal around 120 to 200 Hz so it stays out of the sub. If it gets harsh, dip somewhere around 2.5 to 5 kHz a little. if it needs more presence. A modest lift around 1.5 to 3 kHz can help. Then add a little saturator. You do not need to smash it. Just a light drive can help the chop feel denser and more playable on smaller systems. After that, a gentle compressor can even out the loudest syllables so the edit stays controlled. What to listen for here is whether the vocal still cuts through after you clean up the low end. If it gets too thin, you probably high pass too much. Put a little body back in, maybe around 200 to 400 Hz, or leave a touch more tail. The point is not to make it huge. The point is to make it readable. After that, add movement with rhythm, not random effects. This is important. The best jungle fills usually get their energy from phrasing, not from a pile of plugins trying to rescue the idea. Use clip volume automation or clip envelopes to shape the dynamics. Make the first chop a little louder. Dip the second chop slightly. Fade the last hit so it doesn't smear into the next bar. You can also use auto filter for a subtle transition. Open the filter a bit on the first hit, then close it on the last chop. Or do the reverse if you want the fill to feel like it's opening into the drop. Keep it understated. In drum and bass, big obvious sweeps can get cheesy fast unless the drum phrasing is really carrying them. Now lock it to the drums. This is the real test. Play the fill against the full groove, especially the snare. The vocal should never fight the snare crack or step on the kick transient. If the vocal and snare overlap too much, shorten the tail or move the chop slightly earlier. If the fill feels weak, let one chop answer the snare rather than trying to sit on top of it. What to listen for here is the pocket. Does the vocal create space for the snare, or does it make the bar feel crowded? Does it land in a way that feels intentional? If the answer is yes, you're on the right track. If not, simplify. In DNB, the best fills often sound simple because the placement is so precise. At this point, decide whether the fill should be dry and direct, or a little wider and more atmospheric. A centered, mostly mono version is perfect for rollers, dark minimal sections, and busy bass lines. A wider version can work if you want something more eerie or cinematic, but keep the main transient centered and only widen the tail or repeat. Don't spread the whole punch all over the stereo field. Always check mono early. If the fill falls apart in mono, reduce the width and rely more on mid-range saturation for character. That's the safer move in club-focused DNB. Once the edit is working, print it, consolidate it or bounce it so you can arrange faster. Build at least two versions. One should be your tight, functional original. The other can have a slightly different final chop, a cut tail, or a reversed lead-in for the second drop. That way you're not trying to force one version to do every job in the track. A really practical arrangement trick is to place the fill at the end of an 8-bar phrase, then bring it back later with a small change. Remove one chop. Move one hit. Darken the repeat. Those tiny variations keep the listener from locking onto the exact same shape every time. And remember, the fill has a job. It's not there just to sound cool. It's there to act like a phrase marker. If you mute it and the section suddenly feels less alive, it's doing its job. If you mute it and nothing changes, it may be too decorative. Let's talk about a couple of common mistakes. First, don't make the vocal too long. That's one of the fastest ways to kill the snare. Second, don't leave too much low end in the sample. It muddies the kick and sub. Third, don't quantize every chop perfectly. A little human offset can make the whole thing feel more alive and more jungle. And fourth, don't overprocess before the rhythm works. Effects can disguise a weak edit for a minute, but they won't fix bad phrasing. A strong pro move is to keep three versions in your session if you can. A clean raw chop, a tight functional version, and a slightly hyped version with extra treatment. That way you can choose the one that serves the arrangement instead of trying to rescue one overcooked edit later. Sometimes the smartest move is to stop before it gets too clever. For darker and heavier DNB, a few extra ideas really help. Use the consonant as the attack. Let saturation do the heavy lifting instead of volume. Keep the sub-region empty. Use silence as part of the fill, even a tiny gap before the final hit. If the track is very dark, filter the repeat rather than the main hit. And if you want more menace, cut the tail after the first repeat so the next drum hit answers it. That sudden disappearance can be incredibly effective. If you want to push this further, you can try a few variations. A consonant-only version can turn the vocal into something that feels more like a drum transient than a phrase. A broken call version, where you split the vocal and leave a small gap before the final hit, adds tension. A tiny reversed lead-in can create a suction effect into the main chop. Or you can build a double-time stutter for a more frantic jungle edge. Keep it subtle and keep the groove in charge. The big idea is this. Treat the vocal like percussion with personality. Not a full top line. Not an afterthought. a rhythmic detail that sharpens the phrase. So here's your quick practice challenge. Build a one-bar roller-style vocal fill using only one vocal sample and only Ableton stock devices. High-pass it so the sub stays clean. Make one version tight and centered, and another version slightly wider or more atmospheric. Place both at the end of an 8-bar loop and a slash B them in context. Then ask yourself, does the fill leave room for the snare and sub? Does it feel like it belongs to the groove? And which version would survive in a real club mix?